The Iowa Party caucuses take place on Monday. All six GOP candidates have been vying for the support of Christian conservatives. They're a powerful constituency in the Iowa Republican Party. So far, conservative Christians have not united behind one candidate, and that is in stark contrast to 12 years ago when they mobilized for evangelist Pat Robertson. From member station WOI, Joyce Russell reports.
Supporters of Republican presidential hopeful Gary Bauer rallied in Des Moines last weekend. Bruce Bassler was there with his family.
We're very interested in him because of his success in dealing with families. I think he's right on the sanctity of life. I think he's dead right on getting the Ten Commandments and some moral values back in the school systems.
Bassler and his wife are making phone calls on behalf of Bauer, calling up fellow members of the Evangelical Free Church in Ames. They're finding a division of loyalties.
If I were to go through the church roster, name by name, I would find that in our particular church, there's quite a split. There are some George Bush supporters, some Alan Keyes supporters, John McCain's name has come up. Steve Forbes, of course, has some people, and obviously Gary. And I don't know that I have come across an Orrin Hatch supporter yet, but there's probably one in there somewhere.
Bassler's experience in his own church is further evidence that each of the Republican candidates has been actively courting religious conservatives. This is unlike the early days of 1988 when Christians first became politically involved in support of television evangelist Pat Robertson. As a result, Christian conservatives are split at the same time their agenda is being heard more than ever. Steve Scheffler is a leading activist who worked for Robertson in 1988.
Well, it was an exciting period. In fact, I remember my first trip to Davenport. I met with six people, and on the way home, I wondered, why have I gotten involved in this? But as a result of that meeting and similar cases all over the state, people began to take hold and caught the vision and got on board because Pat talked about a definite set of issues and values that needed to be addressed.
Issues like faith in God and the sanctity of human life, which are familiar on the campaign trail now, but were invigoratingly new back then. Scheffler recalls how hundreds of churchgoers, many of whom in the past had never even registered to vote, eluded pollsters and gave Robertson a surprise straw poll victory and a second-place finish in the Iowa caucuses. But these conservatives are not rallying around a single standard-bearer this time. Scheffler concludes the movement has grown up. He supported Bob Dole 4 years ago and is in the Steve Forbes camp today, though Forbes is thought to be new to the Christian conservative cause. In making his decision, Scheffler considered electability, which troubles some fellow activists.
It's a discouraging thing for me. I don't work that way. I don't think Christians should work that way.
That's Marlis Popma, a longtime leader in the Iowa pro-life movement and now with the Bauer campaign. Popma says Robertson's invisible army is no longer invisible. Conservative Christians hold top party posts and their issues dominate the party platform, but their influence in selecting a party nominee is diluted.
Every Christian conservative who really is involved in the political process would rather that we were all on the same team. It's a difficult thing individually to have some of your closest friends be with another campaign. Until we get to a point where we can coalesce better, we may never get this done.
Drake University professor Hugh Weinbrenner is a historian of the Iowa caucuses. Unlike with Robertson in 1988, Weinbrenner says Christian conservatives understand they may not elect one of their own.
They are at the point now, maturity-wise, that they're willing to accept half a loaf or three-quarters of a loaf. Case in point, George W. Bush is probably quite acceptable to many Christian conservatives in America. But he refuses to take the litmus test on abortion. He says he's pro-life, but he refuses to say that he would appoint Supreme Court justices or only Supreme Court justices are pro-life. Or he refuses to say that he would appoint a vice president presidential candidate who's pro-life. But he's still acceptable because he's Christian enough and he has the chance to win.
Christian activists like Marlis Popma see the good in having their issues heard.
The thing more interesting is than the Christians' involvement is to how the candidates are appealing to them. Every one of them says they're pro-life. We can't hardly go a debate without someone saying that Jesus Christ is their most important role model or doing a prayer.
Polls suggest that if the activists are coalescing, it may be behind Steve Forbes. But polls have a history of undercounting Christian conservatives. Just as Pat Robertson's strong showing was a surprise, so was the 1996 second-place finish of Pat Buchanan, the choice of many in the movement. If a similar undercount occurs, Steve Forbes, Gary Bauer, and Alan Keyes could do better than polls predict. In that scenario, their votes could cancel each other out. For NPR News, I'm Joyce Russell in Ames, Iowa.